Welcome to this Wikimedians in Residence podcast by Helsinki-based Pixel Lake Festival. These exploratory podcasts aim to document and reflect upon the intersection of Wikimedia practices and contemporary cultural organizations. In this podcast, Nikki Zoyner of Wikimove Podcast and Zay Blasi, Wikimedian in Residence at Museum of Contemporary Art in Zagreb, spoke about contemporary culture, civil society organizations, not-for-profit infrastructures, as well as resources and innovation in 2030 Wikimedia strategy. We look into challenges and opportunities for working in global network media through publishing and participation in the Wikimedia ecosystem.
So Z, you're a Wikimedian. What is that and what made you become a Wikimedian?
Maybe it's interesting to say what it is not. It's not just Wikipedia, because many people know of Wikipedia and many people know Wikipedians as like enthusiasts who make the Wikipedia possible. I did not enter the Wikimedia sphere or ecosystem as someone who was enthusiastic over encyclopedic knowledge. I was more enthusiastic over wikis as a media format to publish things, to participate in creating things together, and to structure and articulate texts in kind of a wiki way. And I started doing this already, I think, in late 90s, early 2000s, before Wikipedia was famous, with C2 Wiki and then some other wiki projects that picked up that format of web making that was more like mind mapping and then kind of collaborative brainstorming than what we know it today through Wikipedia interface as like a really rigorous work that requires a lot of skills, a lot of knowledge, and is not as quick as the original word wiki in Hawaiian meant.
That's super interesting, because most people came to Wikipedia into the Wikimedia movement and through the urge to collect knowledge. And so I think it's creates a great dynamic to have people with other sort of perspectives in the movement. Mm-hmm. So then what is Pixel Ache Festival and how does that relate to Wikimedia?
So Pixel Ache Festival is a Finnish Helsinki-based festival that started as an electronic arts festival that was focused on digital arts and media culture, but then also expanded its scope and at some point was also interested in off-grid art cultural practices and doing work that is not mediated through digital tools or services. It's been existing for 20 years, so it was created more or less at similar time as Wikipedia. And in, I think, 2005, there was a brief moment when they connected, when people from Wikipedia were invited to contribute to one of the sessions, one of the discussions, and also to give their inputs in discussing methods and way of working in digital commons. But since then, they haven't been in touch much. So 2 years ago, we started kind of brainstorming. Me being Andrew, who was at the time preparing as a curator, co-curator, the Bern Festival, Pixel Ache Festival topic on burnout and then kind of problematic aspects of digital media. And I thought maybe it would be useful to kind of reconnect and see where we drifted apart as kind of people who were part once of like fairly related media culture scenes, but then also to reflect on what could be done better in the future and how these relatively niche digital arts, media culture festivals, or just contemporary cultural production that is not institutional can find their way back in Wikimedia and with Wikimedia, because at some point there was very much a strong dependency, especially with some of the allies like Creative Commons, where a lot of these artists were contributing to promotion of Creative Commons licenses, where these tensions, frictions, and kind of diversions happened, and yeah, how we can do things better in like less corporate and more sustainable and non-profit way.
So, Z, why are you interested generally in the democratization of media? And you also told me specifically in the sustainability of nonprofit organizations or nonprofit infrastructure.
Yeah, this sounds like a very particular question now, but back when I was initially engaged with web in mid-90s, early 2000s, I was also part of like media activism and specifically kind of net politics discussions. And at that point, we were kind of predicting that things can go wrong very easily, and that they already did with first bubble of like this corporate web bursting in early 2000s. And like the scene was basically very much focused on self-sustainability, on running independent infrastructure or on self-hosting. But unfortunately, somewhere in late 2000s, social media platforms came across as prominent way of doing things, and we lost few generations of people who basically joined internet only as consumers and not as prosumers, not people who would also produce and kind of run their own media, but they would be primarily developing content and publishing them through corporate infrastructure. At the beginning, this didn't look like super problematic, but as the discourse and kind of politics around this was more informed, I think by now more and more people are aware how toxic corporate interests are and how they can lead to really problematic situations like leaking of private information or like suppression of certain types of voices or just creating wealth to few and like kind of using the content of many and using many as free labor to feed the content into these platforms. And in this respect, I think Wikimedia is one of the very, very few, probably the only nonprofit website in top 10, consistently has much greater kind of responsibility to help such efforts, at least in my opinion, than just publishing a digital encyclopedia that anyone can contribute to.
So you bring up a lot of interesting points, obviously, about how sort of the internet developed. And we think of ourselves in the Wikimedia movement sometimes as sort of the last bastion of of non-corporate interests. But, you know, the word democratization is interesting in this context because we are, now I have to bring in my topic, which is movement, the strategy of the Wikimedia movement. And we are been trying for many years now to democratize our movement and to sort of have structures that live up to that ideal of, yes, we're the nonprofit, non-corporate website, but we also want to be participatory and democratic and bottom-up, subsidiarity principle driven, and all those things. So at the same time as we're the last bastion, we're also trying to like fix the bastion and make sure it is built in a way that anybody can join and people can join us. So I'd be just curious to hear your thoughts on that, and about those thoughts, like about participation and ownership of the platform.
Those are all really big questions. I mean, I have to say I only joined closely and at meta level of Wikimedia just before start of the pandemic, like a few months before. So my insights are only so deep, like I don't have the whole history and all of the attempts and all of the efforts in my sleeve or in my notebook. But what I encountered as someone who came from both activism and cultural management was there was a very low level of kind of literacy in terms of governance. Like there are many, many entities that work inside of the greater Wikimedia system, or as some prefer to use the word movement, that are much less organized than any other movement I encountered. And I was involved with primarily because Wikipedia and its software MediaWiki were made for kind of consecutive editing and not necessarily for collaborative efforts. It was also made for writing and not a consensus building through kind of discussion. So these tools are very poor when you have to create protocols and procedures of how to collectivize, how to make decisions, how to avoid making decisions if they are not necessary also. And there are certain assumptions that became a kind of rules within Wikipedia systems about what is considered consensus. And I find many of them problematic because they really depend on how much you can commit that you partake or not partake in decision making, and also how much your voice or your arguments can be accessible to others, both for limitations of language, but also limitations of time, like the fact that for many years Wikipedia was dominantly edited by a certain profile of people, and then at a very little percent with those who are outside of those norms and or normatives. And this created a lot of problems. I think now in past 3-4 years, we are finally discussing super burning social issues, like decolonization of knowledge, like harvesting like different types of experiences, or like expressing different types of needs, allocating resources in areas where there are few, or where there is a lack of local organized work. And this is not just democracy as in terms of politics, it's also democratization as in terms of economy and in terms of kind of sociability and just culture, like the fact that much of the West and North functions in like very particular way that's more or less shaped around liberal capitalism, and that many regions don't have this option. Like many people cannot plan so much in advance, cannot project agenda, their urgencies as easily, because they are struggling with other things. So before saying that this is a successful global project, I think we have to see like where and how much we have participation, where and how much we have resources, and whose voices are continuously heard, and which voices are like very sporadic and exceptionally present in conversations. And also, how can we decenter certain types of work? Can we only accommodate one type of work, one type of production, one type of contribution? Can we come up with multiple ways of doing things and not just assume that one fits all? So yeah, democratization is maybe not the ideal word, but as you said, redistribution and kind of focusing on subsidiarity and maybe translocal organizing rather than assuming a global uniform system would be ideally a way to go forward and to make a fortress that could actually stand for many more than just for those who were here at the beginning or early times.
So I'm curious, since you've been around a while in other contexts and other digital networks, cultural institutions, cultural management, activism, what can we learn from those other contexts for when we're reforming the Wikimedia movement and making it fit to survive?
Yes, I think rather than just learning directly from like best case studies or best case scenarios or what European Union projects like to call like best practices. I think it's super important to reflect on all practices, to reflect on failures, to note failures, to deal with them, and to analyze in a way that we can learn from both failures and successes. Because just replicating success from one context to another, especially if it's amazing success, it's not likely to repeat because we need to be context and content sensitive at all times. And this is probably one of the biggest learnings I kind of can bring and bring to other contexts from queer activism, that you just cannot assume norms and you cannot assume that one thing that works for certain types of people, for certain types of organizations, would be easily replicated. On the other hand, from cultural field, it would be really useful to think how to address different parts of culture, different parts of society with different strategies, and maybe create a way to kind of meet them halfway or meet them in a way that is most accessible. For the most simple and illustrative example for me is in Wikipedia, which after these 22 years existence has most major Wikipedia articles at full length of several pages. And this is kind of crazy that you come to an encyclopedia where you want to have just general knowledge, and in the general knowledge you just need general guidance, but to get to this you have to read several pages, and we don't have any audio-visual way of navigating this. It's mostly plain text with very, very few images, very, very few graphics. And it's just not the way to access many of audiences of today. in new media culture, there was much experiments with participation, with interaction, with all kinds of both technological but also social tools. And yeah, it would maybe require for Wikimedia to kind of periodically revisit its interfaces, its ways of doing things, and just give up on the idea of linear development, of like a single branch of development of both content and organizational work and methods of collaboration, all of these aspects. And I know it's hard because, yeah, it's easy to assume that you can meet everyone at the average point, but the average point is just mathematical approximation. Not many people are actually that average when you see. And if you are looking at this from feminist, especially intersectional feminism point of view, most of us experience multiple oppressions. Most of us experience multiple discriminations during our lives. So, yeah, kind of calibrating systems to some ideal situations is really reductory in a way that misses out many of the interesting people, positions, even organizations. I mean, the visibility of civil society sector and small NGOs is super weak in Wikimedia, although Wikimedia itself functions as non-profit organization and tries to kind of work in this way all across the world.
All right, now we're switching roles. Is there something you want to ask me?
Yes, of course. Since you are both podcaster, and that means you are media producer and strategist for Wikimedia Germany and greater Wikimedia movement, I guess you can maybe advise us and inform us, what do you think are the key aspects that are missing in Wikimedia movement to be able to create a more progressive contemporary cultural policy that could kind of make Wikimedia drop this continuous referring to encyclopedia and kind of institutional knowledge that goes all the way from this metaphor of enlightenment and apply something that is more relevant for the present situation?
Wow, that's a big question. So I guess there's a degree to which you cannot change an original mission of a movement or of a nonprofit. And I don't know if we're going to get much past the encyclopedic sort of approach. But I think within that approach, there's ways to diversify. But I also think it's definitely a cultural change that needs to happen first. So thinking of diversity in ways to collect knowledge and ways to represent knowledge and ways of the sources of knowledge and the people, thinking of diversity as a resource, I think we're not fully there yet with some of the older, more established parts of the movement. And so we have to change our reality. And I think one way to do that is by changing structures so that more people can join. So the strategic direction is like pretty much the sort of the motto for me there is creating structures, economic structures, social structures, knowledge contribution structures that open it up for new people, for other people, people from different backgrounds. So, you know, when I say changing our reality, I think Lily Tomlin said, reality is just a collective hunch. And so that means we can change the collective hunch. We can change, how Wikimedians feel about themselves and about the family or the movement or the sphere or the ecosystem, whatever you want to call it, they're part of. So, but it takes time. And you know, my own expertise as a strategist is in governance and democracy and participation, and starting with those reforms makes a lot of sense to me. It's just, you know, there's a change aversion, I guess, or change comes slowly, both from those that are in power, obviously resist, because it's in the logic of if you are in power and if you want to not just maintain the power, maybe it's people who are actually not thinking I need to maintain my power or I need to maintain my economic resources, but it's just a logic of sustaining a nonprofit organization. It's, you know, we need to keep our resources together, not share them. So it's nothing, there's no bad humans here. It's just an internal logic of how organizations work. So yeah, getting past that is going to be difficult, but it's something we need to do over the next few years. And there's a lot of other movements that are not about culture and not about knowledge, but about other things that we can learn from. And so I think those discussions will take a while. The other side that is change averse, without, you know, this being a criticism, is the people at the disempowered end of our movement. And especially newcomers who just come to our movement and say, oh, this is cool, this is a way for me to get a little bit of grant funds to do a little bit of work. And they're not coming into the movement as change agents. They're coming into the movement as, oh, I have to learn how this works and how to, you know, function within this system that has been given to me. And so it's very difficult to have conversations about, no, but that system sucks, we need to change it. So yeah, those are some of the barriers. But I think we can change our collective hunch. We just need to have the time and the sort of the length of breath for it and stick with it.
I love the idea of hunch, but I think it's kind of also is a kind of a good reminder that this all still needs to be human scale still, regardless of how big the NGO is and how big the infrastructure is, and that that human experience needs to be centered, not just content. And this is probably one of the bigger issues. Yeah, thank you for contributing that idea.
So to come back to Pixelake and sort of step out of the Wikimedia movement again, what, in your view, what can people from other digital movements and networks and cultural movements take away from our conversation today?
The one thing that was super interesting and sobering with Pixelake is at the center of its name. It's kind of a pain of dealing with pixels and being over-consumed in digital environments. I love the negativity because it's usually suppressed. It's super important to create these negative spaces for critical reflection, where critique can be not only voiced, but also can be the center. It is something that most of us should contribute to and not just avoid to keep good spirit, but superficial relations, which are normalized in the liberal corporate optimism. The one practical thing I tried to do recently in Wikimedia Central Eastern European meeting is to organize two workshops where negativity was the center. The first one was No Glamour. It was critically discussing how Wikimedia does glam or institutional cultural work, mostly relying on obvious low-hanging fruits. And there is hardly any work done in harder to reach areas like small media festivals or NGOs. And second was Not New Normal. It was discussing what were the routines and normalized modes of doing work that needed to be adapted in pandemic and what made us question our default ways then. It was interesting to see what we actually can learn from that. what were new practices that we want to keep even when pandemic is over, even when we can do all or most of the things that we used to do before. We shouldn't give up on reviewing our work because the pandemic is over. I think it's super important to not erase and turn the blind eye to the pandemic learnings, but make the most of it and have this more integrated, if not embedded fully in our strategies. This work includes sensitivity for needs of people who were not traveling, even when we didn't have pandemic, because they couldn't and we didn't have accessible systems for them and others. As we do all activities, I think it's important to frontally face the negative aspects of different realities, then deal with them in a way that they can be both informative and instructive to help us build better support for the future.
Thanks, Z. Thanks for this great conversation. Maybe we can continue this at some point on the Wikimove podcast, and good luck with all your endeavors.
This was one in a series of podcasts created as part of the Wikimedian in Residence process hosted by Pixelig Helsinki, featuring Florence Devois, Tony Sand, Rebecca O'Neill, Nikki Zoiner, Z Blasse, and Andrew Griff Patterson, that happened between January 2022 and January 2023. These residencies are a follow-on from the initial conversation between Z Blasse and Rebecca O'Neill on open archiving practices as part of Pixelig Helsinki Festival, Bern, in June 2021, and began with the open mic with Pixelig Vorspiel event in CTM Transmedia Alle Festivals in February 2022. The process was funded by the Rapid Grant of the Wikimedia Foundation and Pixelig Helsinki Festival. The Wikimedians in Residence process is part of its cultural program reflecting on 20 years of activity. Pixelig is annually supported by Arts Promotion Centre Finland and Helsinki City. Audio identity design by Sumagan Sivanasen. Post-production by Mia Laine. Text translations into Finnish and Saami language by Jupik. Project and visual design by Z Blasse.